6 a.m. every morning. And we're also praying in our corporate prayer on Monday evenings. And then there is also, I guess, group prayer. For example, I am one of the prayer leaders, intercessor, and we're holding ourselves accountable. We text, you know, in a group. First of all, we read and we pray, and then we text, you know, saying that this is what we read and this is what we prayed today. One of the scriptures that we prayed, you know, we learned to flow here. And our apostle always gives us the targets that we pray. A few weeks ago, we were praying, actually, Psalm 63. What I'd like for you to do, we're going to pray 5-10 minutes in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is a class on prayer, so we're going to pray. I'm going to encourage you that, you know, even when you're not at class, pray. Hallelujah. And you say, well, yeah, I pray. Pray what you're learning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if you were praying 10 minutes, make it 15, make it 20, until you're going to get to the point that you're going to be able to pray an hour for those newcomers. Amen. I know in here we probably have intercessors. I know we have pastors. We have, you know, other members of the body of Christ who are here, and you've been praying for years, amen, and praise God. I thank God for that, but I encourage you that at this time in this season, we must pray, amen. Apostle prays. He prays, I think Paul said, more than ye all, amen. I know more than we all. He prays, and a lot of times, the revelations that God has given him, you will not be able to catch it. It must be caught unless you are praying. Amen? You know, he gives the messages in the Spirit. You're going to have to receive it in the Spirit. And if your spirit man is not built up through prayer, you will not be able to receive it. You're going to miss out. Amen. He tells us that all the time. And my prayer to God is always, oh, Lord, I don't want to miss it. Amen. I don't want to miss it. Glory to God. I thank God for all of you. I thank you for God for your being here, you know, at this time, because you are the ones that are going to be going out there and you're going to be setting the pace for others. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 63, let's stand. We are learning by precept and by example. Amen. Okay, let's read. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God. Lord God. You're our God. Yes, Lord God. We thirst for you, Lord God. We long for you, Lord God. To see your power. Oh, Rabababababahashandarabakahaya. To see your glory, Lord God. Alalala mahanda de bede. Alalala mahashandarabakahaya. Amabababakanda de bede de bosoko darabakahaya. Amabababanda de bede. Alalala mahashandarabakahaya. Amamamanda de bede. Oh, Rabababahashindarabakahaya. Alalala bahashandarabakaha. Oh, Rabababababahashandarabakahaya. We praise you. Glory to God, we praise you. Alalala Mahashia. Alalala Mahashandara Bakahaya. Oh Rabasi, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we thank you. Hallelujah, that you are our Father. We thank you for this privilege that you have given unto us, Lord God, to have this intimate relationship with you. Holy Spirit, we thank you, hallelujah, for helping us. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You made it all possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we want to remember our online students, and we're encouraging them with the same words. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We've talked about the reason for prayer, and we've talked about the purpose, for prayer. And tonight we're just going to begin to touch on, well, what is prayer? Hallelujah. You know, that's the way the author, that's the way he presented it in his book. You know, he was talking about our communion with God in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he was talking about the purpose of prayer. And that's what we talked about on last week. And so when we talk about the purpose, remember we said, what was God's original intent? And the way God set it up, you know, man was given dominion. And, you know, we're hearing Apostle talk to us, you know, a lot about our dominion. And the truth is, you know, we read it in the Bible, but we're really not really walking in it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not walking in it, but we're beginning to see. And as our eyes are being opened, we will begin to understand and begin to walk and to live in that dominion that God has given us. Amen? So tonight what we want to focus on is what is prayer. A lot of times to understand what something is, you have to first understand what it is not. Amen? Glory. Your author, and this is coming from chapter 3, for those of you who may want to know, he says, prayer is not a monologue or a vain repetition of words. You know, it's not that. Matthew 6 and 7, you know, he tells us, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. And the way it's written, hallelujah. Matthew 6, verse 7, it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And look at the vain repetitions. He's not talking about children of God. He says, as the heathen do. That's the way they pray. So as children of God, that is not the way we pray. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not something that we do to fulfill some type of quota with God. you know, it's not, God doesn't have any quotas. We're not trying to fill a quota with God. It's not a religious exercise. It is not asking for a favor or a way to escape a guilty conscience. That's not what we're doing when we're praying. And then your author says, it's not like a 911 call that we might make when our lives are on fire. Amen. You know, sometimes, and it's very, very unfortunate, and we all know people like this, the only time they pray is when they are in trouble. Amen. When they are in trouble, when something, you know, bad has happened. What I'm finding, when things are going well and I'm praying, amen, it prepares me for the little things that come down the road that are not well. I can still have peace. I can still have confidence because when things were going good, I was praying. I was building myself up. And remember, when I'm using the term prayer, I'm talking about not just in the understanding. I'm also talking about praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues. I had a little bit of the class just before. Pastor Walk, I heard him a little bit. I heard him. I was down the hall. Amen. And he was talking about praying also. So what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation or a dialogue between our born again, recreated human spirit and God. Amen. It's a dialogue. I mean, now we never thought about that. We never thought that, you know, I'm praying from my born again, recreated human spirit, but God is the spirit. Amen. So in order for us to communicate or have a dialogue with God, we must communicate with him from our spirit. Born again, recreated, human spirit, spirit to spirit. Amen. So, you know, I guess when I was coming up, you know, I shared, you know, I did not know how to pray. All I knew was Our Father prayer. So I guess a lot of my praying back then was from my head. It was not from my spirit, man. I was born again, but it was not from my spirit, man. Some of it was vain repetition. I prayed what I heard other people pray. I came up in a church where the kids made fun of the deacons sometime who would be leading prayer, you know, because this man, the kids knew before he opened his mouth exactly what he was going to say. Amen. I can remember like knee bent and body bowed. And it's like, okay. I mean, you see, this is what your author is talking about when he's talking about vain repetitions. It's not this is not prayer. We're supposed to be having this heart-to-heart, genuine conversation with God. We're supposed to be telling him in prayer, Lord, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we appreciate you. You know, Lord, he knows what you need, okay? He already knows what you need. One of the things that we're learning right now in prayer, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6, you know, God knows that you have need of all these things. He knows. And we're being taught that when we begin to seek him in prayer, seek him. Lord, what's your will? Lord, what you want? Lord, you see this problem. Now, what you want to do about it? Amen? I mean, you're sick. I can remember some things. And, you know, it was like, God, you have a pathway out of this. You know, when the enemy attacks you, God always has a pathway to your health, to your healing, to your deliverance. And what you got to do is get with God in prayer and ask him to reveal to you what is that pathway. Amen. And then whatever he tells you, do it. Hallelujah. Whatever he tells you by faith, this is what you want to do. But it all comes by having that conversation with God, by seeking God first. Amen. And then all these things will be added unto you. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah. God is a spirit, and we talk and pray to him with our spirit, with your spirit. Amen. So then the author goes on. He says, well, why is it difficult for believers? He said, believers to pray. You know, why is it so difficult for us to pray? You know, you would think because we realize that God is our Father and we want to have communion with him and he has all the answers, you know, we would be so happy to pray. He starts off, he says, the flesh is weak. Amen. How many times have we heard that? And, you know, in order to understand that, we have to go back to what we've already been taught, and that is, I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. Amen? I am born again where? In my spirit. My spirit is born again. My body is not born again. Amen? And my soul, you know, I have to renew it. Constantly, I have to constantly renew my mind, you know, with the word of God. And so when it said the flesh is weak, your body is of this world. It does not want to pray. It does not. And you, when I say you, I'm talking about your spirit man, you know, is going to have to let that body know, look, I am in charge and I need to have fellowship with my Father. Amen. And then, you know, when your spirit man take the ascendancy, your body is going to have to just settle down and go along with the program that you have assigned for it. Amen? My flesh is weak. That's one of the reasons it's so difficult for believers to pray. Because, you know, for some of us, the body rules us. You know, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm hungry. You know, all of these things. This is what the body is saying. Another one is, it seems that the results are never equivalent to the time we invest in prayer. We see no results. Remember on last week, we looked at, you know, that part that said Jesus spent 5 hours praying, and I think it was like 5 seconds in, you know, in healing somebody. You know, and the author also said, he said, then the church is not like that. What we want to do, we want to spend 5 minutes in prayer and think that, you know, it's going to take 24 hours, you know, to get the work accomplished. No, you have to invest the time in prayer. You have to invest that time in prayer. It is not wasted time. Prayer is an investment. Amen? It is truly an investment. Another reason says why it's so difficult for believers to pray, because we have no idea how to pray for long periods of time. Talking about in the understanding, you don't have any idea how to pray for long periods of time. I mean, look at Jesus, 5 hours. You know, we say, whoa, what can I say in 5 hours? We will run out in 5 minutes. You know, when we finish telling God what we want, what we need, would hurt, you know, then where you go from there, you know? That's because we have not learned how to pray for long periods of time. And then the other one was we lack understanding on the subject of prayer, but not you. You are here in this class, you're here in this school, and you're learning about prayer, and you're gaining understanding about prayer and the importance of prayer. Amen? Then we get the question about, what is the proper physical posture for prayer? You know, there's a controversy among some people. No, you can only pray on your knees. You got to be on your knees to pray. And then some say, oh, no, you got to stand with your hands up in the air to pray. And then others say, oh, no, you got to be prostrate to pray. Okay, well, there is no such thing as the proper physical posture to pray. There are going to be times the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to kneel. Amen. You will kneel. Other times you will be led to be prostrate. Other times you will walk. Amen. You will walk and you will pray. Now, I found out for me, I can only speak for me personally, I cannot lay down in the bed and pray. I cannot. My body begins to tell me it is tired, it is sleepy. You know, I can be wide awake and I start praying. I'm in the bed and I say, oh, no. You know, I'll get up and I'll sit up. And then finally I realize, no, you got to get out the bed. You can't be nowhere around the bed because it's just something about being in the bed. It does not work for me. It might work for some of you, but it does not work for me. Amen. But the posture is not what's important. The thing that makes prayer effective is not the physical position that we assume while in prayer, but it is our heartfelt attitude towards God. Heartfelt attitude towards God. You know, there are sometimes some of us, you know, I mean, man, I see a man, they just be praying and marching. Amen. But it's heartfelt. Amen. I mean, this person is having an intimate conversation with Almighty God, and they're doing it while they're walking. Amen. Why is prayer necessary? You know, why do we need to pray? When we look at Luke 18 and 1, and I excuse me, I realize I have to read these because when I wrote them down, it was from a different translation. King James says, Luke 18, 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, this talking about Jesus, you know, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And, you know, here, you know, we've heard our apostles say, if you don't pray, then you're going to faint. Amen. You know, it's just that's just what's going to happen. That's just how important prayer is. It's necessary because if we do not pray, we will faint. Why should we pray? If God is sovereign over all things and he does whatever he wants to and wherever he wants to do it. So why do we need to pray? You know, if he's this sovereign God, he sees my needs. He understands my needs. He sees what's going on. So why do I have to pray? Well, if you will remember from last week, we read in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, there's that word again, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So what God was doing, he set up a plan where man is in dominion of everything on the earth, believe it or not. You can't tell it, can you? You know, you can't tell it because we have not, I guess, learned that we're in dominion. We haven't learned what dominion is, but we're learning now. Amen. Hallelujah. We're learning now, and we're going to be coming dominators. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you leave this school, you're going to know about dominion, and you're going to know how to dominate in your domain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has set it up so that he operates through human beings. God wants his perfect will to be done through humanity. And so even though he is God, he's sovereign, he's almighty, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, he has set it up so that man is the one, or woman, you know, who has to take the dominion over things on the earth. When we see something that is not according to God's perfect will, or God's plan, or God's purpose, we have the authority from Almighty God himself to say something about that in prayer. Amen? And it's going to begin to obey us. Man is God's representative on earth. There are many plans. Now, this was a hurtful thing. There are many plans and projects of God that have not yet been fulfilled because there is a shortage of men and women who are willing to give birth to these in the spirit. Amen? A shortage. You know, think about the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And God is there, and he's trying to get some things done, accomplished in the earth realm. And, you know, over in Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man. You know, I sought for a man. God is still seeking. He's still seeking men, and he's still seeking women to pray and take dominion and, you know, accomplish his will in the earth. He said, but I found none. In Ezekiel 22:30, he said, you know, I saw for a man or a woman, but I found none. And so, you know, we can say today, well, Lord, here we are. You know, we'll do it. Amen. Because we're learning how to pray. We're learning the importance of contact with God. We're learning the importance of seeking God first. Seeking him first. Lord, what your will. Lord, what you want to do. Lord, who you want me to talk to today. Amen. You know, unfortunately, there are men and women who are not saved because God needed somebody. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody, you know, to go over here and talk to this person about Jesus, to pray with this person, to get them born again, to pray with this person, to get them filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues so that they can have some power in their lives. He's looking. You know, and we want to be in a position, keep ourselves prayed up, keep ourselves ready, so that when God says, I need you to go over here and I need you to do this, then you're going to be prepared to do it. You know, that was a time, I'm pretty sure there were times he was trying to get me to do something. I wasn't ready. I couldn't do it. I wasn't prepared. But now, amen? But now when he gives me an assignment, all I want to be able to do is hear him say, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. My sister, I need you to go to the hospital. Amen? And I want you to pray. Hallelujah. My will is to heal this person. My will is to deliver this person. And I need you to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to see it. It's going to begin to happen more and more and more. I never thought I'd have fun preparing for this lesson. I really didn't. You know, like I told y'all, my knees were shaking. But I was preparing. And I heard the words, boots on the ground, you know, and it's like boots on the ground. Well, I watch the news, amen, and I know that there's a war that's going on over in the Middle East, and every now and then the news people will say, will the president send or put boots on the ground? And it's like boots on the ground. To me, it was just a strange term, boots on the ground. Well, believe it or not, we're in the army. Amen. Every believer here is, oh my, this is good. Every believer here is in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is doing some things through our man of God, through our apostle. Hallelujah. Show me your glory. Ha ha. Show me your glory. God is beginning to heal. He's beginning to deliver. Amen. He's doing some things through our apostle and other men and women and men and women of God who are under him, who are submitted to him. Things are happening. We're hearing reports every day. But guess what? Some of those people are going to need boots on the ground. Hallelujah. Because up until now, it has all been air. Hallelujah. The glory of God has descended, and the glory of God has performed signs and wonders and miracles. But some of those people are going to need some follow-up. Hallelujah. They're going to need some boots on the ground, and you will be the boots on the ground. Not all of those people are filled with the Spirit. Not all of them are baptized with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. And for them, I think I remember saying that, in order for them to maintain what they have received, they're going to need a sister or a brother. Amen. Apostle can't minister to all these people one-to-one all the time. Your pastor can't minister one-to-one all the time. You will have to be the boots on the ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I just laugh. I say, boots on the ground. And then I got so excited. And you know, we pray that Word of Life Christian Center is activated. Amen. And when we're saying activated, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about going outside the church. We're talking about, Pastor has us praying right now, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And then we go down the line to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. That's part of our job. That's what we're going to be doing. That's what we were supposed to be doing. That was God's original plan, you know, for the church to be doing this. You know, and not only to preach the gospel to the poor, but he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then that last verse, that to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And so, you know, if y'all want to just join us, you know, in praying Luke 4:18, then by all means do it, because we are part of the boots on the ground. Amen. We talked about the many plans and the projects that God has and how he's looking for us. He's looking for men. He's looking for women. God is looking for a family with which to enjoy a close relationship. My sons and my daughters, I want to fellowship with them. Amen. Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's family talk. Amen. That is family talk. Another reason we should pray because we want to see God's will done on earth. Now, I think the author used Luke 11:2. I use Matthew 6:10. Amen. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, Reverend Montrell gave us a revelation on that. I don't know if he gave it to y'all about that in earth. Amen. Hallelujah. We are made out of the dirt. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then our apostle came. He says, and when the will of God is done in earth, then the in earth can make it done on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, that was so good. Prayer. Another reason, you know, why prayer is necessary is because prayer gives God the legal right to change the will of man. Isn't that something? Prayer gives God the legal right. You see, and I think I shared that with you. It says, like I said, I don't remember if it was Smith Wigglesworth. I guess I should have looked that up for you. But he said, it seems that God cannot do anything on earth unless somebody asks him. Amen? So We have to be the ones who are going to be asking God to do things in prayer. Amen. Things that are in accordance with his will. Praying for his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Again, prayer gives God the legal right to change the will of man. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's pointing in you all the time. He's giving you the will to do of his good pleasure. And not only that, he's changing the other person. You know, you're praying for a person to be saved. You know, some of them, they're, no, not yet. No, if so-and-so could go to heaven, then I can go too. You know, that's the what I hear. They're so busy, you know, looking at flaws in everybody else, and then they're saying, well, if they can go, then I can go too. But it's something about when we pray and we're interceding, amen, and we're interceding for them, then it gives God the legal right to do some things in them to make them cry out for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The author also gave this example of the horse to the water. You know, you've heard this term. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Hallelujah. And, you know, and then I think the response was, no, you can't make him drink, but if you take him for a long ride, he'll get thirsty. You know, and it's like, and that's what we have to do. But we're doing it how? In prayer. We're praying. You know, we're praying for the will of God. It is God's will for men and women to be saved. It is his will. God does not want anybody to go to hell. Don't you ever let nobody tell you, well, you know, well, he didn't get saved. It must have been the Lord's will. No, that was not his will. He sought for a man. He sought for a woman to go in and witness to them. And he couldn't find one. Or the one he told to go, they were scared, you know. Amen. You know, no. That's not going to be the case with us. When he speaks to us, when he tells us, then we're going to go out there, and then we're going to be the ones to birth the will of God in the lives of people. Things are birthed through prayer. Amen? They are birthed through prayer. The author gave the example of Elijah and the rain. Talks about Elijah prayed that the rain would, that it wouldn't rain. And it did not rain for like 3.5 years. There was a famine in the land as a result. And I encourage y'all, read 1 Kings 18. It just blessed me. It just blessed me so much. Today, I just had to read it. I just had to go back and read it again. So I just encourage you to read it. But anyway, you know, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And then he came back and he prayed that it would rain. And do you know it rained? Hallelujah. Do you know when he prayed for it not to rain, it did not rain? You know, so if he could birth that, then think about the things that you and I can birth. Hallelujah. Your author says prayer gives birth to things in the physical and the spiritual realm. Says God is saying to us that through prayer, we can give birth to lost souls. We can give birth to lands. We can give birth to resources. We can give birth to finances, ministries, and so much more in prayer. And then he asked the question, why did Elijah pray 7 times? The reason why, and he used the word persevere. We must, and the only thing I could think about, remember that woman? Who went to the unjust, was it a man, judge at night, and I have some people coming to my house, I need some bread, and she was a knocking, and he said, even though I don't fear God or man or something like that, he said, but I'm going to get up and give it to her, because this woman just going to wear me out, amen? So, I mean, that's the way we have to be. We have to be willing to persevere in prayer. We want, our apostle is telling us we live in this microwave society, and we want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. But we have to understand that there are going to be times that we have to persevere. And you say, well, how long? Until it shows up. Amen? I mean, you have to have confidence that when I ask, he hear me, and that it's on the way. And I mean, and just stay with it. Just stay with it. You know, especially if God has given you a word. Glory to God. If God has given you a word, just trust that it's on the way. Amen? I think I just got a signal there. I think I just got a signal. We will finish this the next time. But let me, I'll just give you this, just this. Your author said that God is looking for two types of people, intercessors and worshipers. He says the intercessors, they plow. Hallelujah. The intercessors plow. And guess what? The worshipers, they make the rain come upon the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. And we praise you, Lord God, for all that we've heard, Father. We do thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this privilege, Lord, to intercede. Lord God, we thank you that we can worship you, Father God, in spirit and in truth. We give you all praise and all honor for what we have heard this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Remember, next week is Prosperity Revival.